There should be John Lansing, Jim Day, Daniel Helland, and I believe Claire James.
Are they coming here? Any of them?
I don't know if they're actually coming there, but they should be on, you know, in the group.
If anyone comes here, they'll be in the OPAC meeting.
Is that what's going on in
here? Yes.
OPAC. Oh my goodness. That's heat, man.
Is that periodic review?
No. What's Claire's last name, Deborah?
This is the Marine Reserve discussion.
H-E-L-L-A-N-D.
Thank you.
So, I'm good friends with Bill Macklin and Rudy Rada. Do you guys, you know those two characters, don't you?
I don't know Bill.
Oh, you don't? He's on the...
Someone has joined the conference.
Hello.
Hello.
From Astoria. I've got quieter John Lansing, Bruce Collins, Astoria.
I'm sorry, could you say those names again, Jack, please?
Pardon?
Hi, Jack, it's Penelope. How are you doing?
All right, all right.
Could you please...
myself and John Lansing.
Okay, thank you.
And Jack Bland from Astoria.
Did you get those?
No, I went down the hall. I have just... Larry Fund, I heard his voice. Jack Bland. Is Jack Kreider there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is here.
John Overholser?
He's on his way, down the hallway.
Herb?
He is going to join us shortly.
Is Herb there?
Say again?
Herb?
Herb is not here.
And what about Bruce? Sounds like you.
Bruce is here, that's me.
And is...
Jack Bland.
I got Jack Bland. Is John Lansing participating in Astoria?
I'm here, yes.
Okay. Just because you didn't want to come to Newport and meet in the small conference room?
Herb is joining us as well.
Herb is there too?
Yes.
Who's there from Seaport?
So far, just Deborah Edwards. And John Lansing.
Then Claire and Daniel Helland are going to come?
Yeah. Yes, they're going to join. And so is Jim Day.
Our contingency from Portland hasn't called in yet. And in Newport, we have Mark McConnell, newly elected mayor of Newport and representative to the consortium now. Gene Cossey. Jim Vogtberg, city manager. David Marshall, finance director.
Someone has joined the conference.
This is Seaport.
Jim?
That's Jim Day.
It's Jim Day.
Who's with you, Jim?
Daniel, Helen.
And Claire James.
And Jim Day.
Okay, and to finalize the list from Newport, we have Penelope McCarthy, city attorney. Larry Dalrymple, State of Oregon, and Peggy Hawker, City Recorder. And in the audience, we have Bill Bain.
And
Doug
Helland is
supposed to be here. Who's the vice chair?
I don't know. I was wondering that.
Larry Fund was.
So, Larry Fund, you're the vice chair. You're in charge. We have no chair.
We have no chair. Larry Fund is running late this evening, this afternoon, this morning, rather, so he's not here just yet.
Okay.
Take over, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Does anybody have any additions or deletions and approval of the agenda? Any additions or deletions?
All right. we want an addition on there.
Okay.
Basically, we requested a funding balance to determine. So, yes, it'd be a grant account balance,
remaining subsidy. Like that.
Well, I think that's already on there. It's number 7, analysis.
Item number 7.
Okay.
Analysis of remaining subsidy. And that's why David Marshall, our finance director, is here today. And he'll be giving us a report at that point.
All right. So, I'm going to make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Where is that? I can barely hear.
Oh. Why don't you move down here, Peggy? Who made that motion?
Jack Crider.
Jack Crider. Okay. Do we have a second?
Do you want me to move?
I'll second it. Gene.
Second from Gene. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Second item on the agenda is approval of minutes, December 17th, 2010.
They look fine to me. I would move to approve the minutes. Larry.
Larry moves to approve. Do I hear a second? Okay, second from Jack Crider?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes, I guess. All right, now we have the election of a chair. Do I have any nominations?
I'll move a nomination for Mark.
Anybody second?
I'll second it. Larry.
Second from Larry. Are there any other nominations?
I move nominations be closed.
All right. All those in favor of myself being the chair?
Aye.
Okay. So moved, so passed. All right. Well, we're ready for a marketing and survey update from Claire.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I'll go over a few main points. Can everybody hear me all right? Yep. Okay, great. This week we're launching another first-time flyer promotion. First-time flyers can check out our air service for just $49 each direction on point-to-point flights from Newport, Astoria, and Pendleton to Portland. And these first-time flyer fares can be booked until February 17th for flights through February 28th. So this should not conflict with Astoria's voucher program. This particular promotion has been very successful in the past, and we anticipate further success with building ridership, and it's been promoted on social media and will be distributed in press releases that go out today. The Seaport weblog called the Seaport Report has been published. It's accessible at www.seaportreport.wordpress.com. There's a good chance we'll be changing that domain in the near future so that it integrates with our webpage domain. And this particular weblog, you should go check it out. It's a nice little piece. It's going to be maintained regularly with posts containing Seaport stories and news, industry news, resources for leisure travelers, resources for business travelers, fun things to do in between flights, and links to our webpage, and hopefully will bring us some more traffic by maintaining this site that doesn't only have information on our airline, but it will also be, we'll have lots of content for travelers in general and the like. We're working on designing our website still, so it'll be easier for our customers to navigate. We've gone through looked at a couple rounds of mock-ups so far, and we're continuing to make changes to it, the design, and hopefully within the next few months we can get that out. website.
I'm sorry, Claire, you said within, Claire?
Yes?
The website, you said within how many months?
We don't have a particular date set for that. It just depends on how many more times we have to go through changing the designs and resubmitting our suggestions and that sort of thing. We anticipate meeting with them in the next week, so hopefully the process will be a little bit quicker from there because the designs that they've given us recently are a little bit more satisfactory and there are very few changes that need to be seen. So.
Okay, thank you.
But as soon as possible. Again, gift vouchers are available. Travel packages, I've been speaking with the Coho Peak Lodge in Newport and Coma, as well as the Canary Pier in Astoria and a few hotels in Pendleton, and we anticipate by the end of the month having hotel packages set up with those hotels. Like I said, by the end of the month, it will have links from our website, and those will be able to be booked through the hotels.
Claire, can I ask you a question about that? This is Bruce.
Sure.
On that hotel packages, have you set up a unique airfare that is combinable with the discounted hotel rates, or how does that work?
Yes, we have agreed to match. Whatever a hotel will discount up to a certain percentage, we have agreed to match that for the hotel packages. And it just kind of varies from hotel to hotel.
All right, so if they provide a 20% discount, then they're going to get a 20% discount off the coach fare?
It depends on availability, so it will be whatever fare is available at the time.
Oh, so are you putting prices on the internet?
No, it'll be a percentage, and they'll have to call for the exact price.
Was it come stay at our package in Newport at the whatever hotel, two nights, 3-day package, includes airfare from Portland, and you're going to get a 20% savings? Call for details.
Right. And it would be say 20% off the hotel room as well as 20% off of the airfare. Which works better for the hotels as well because their seasonal pricing and everything like that, prices tend to vary.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Who does the ticketing for the for Seaport?
They will have, it'll be set up somewhat like our value accounts, where they'll be able to log into an account and the hotels will be able to book or reserve
see
via that means.
Okay, and so they'll charge the client's credit card the total amount.
Right.
And then they have a credit with Seaport. Good job. I commend you.
Thank you.
It's not been easy.
All right.
But it'll work.
Can I ask you a question? You went quickly past gift vouchers. Would you explain how your gift vouchers work?
The gift vouchers can be issued for any amount, and basically a customer can either walk up to the counter, give us a call, and inquire about a gift voucher, and we have a help desk that essentially sets up and issues the voucher, and they make payment for the voucher just like they would a reservation, and send the voucher to them via email.
So it's not an actual flight, it's just an amount of money towards whatever they end up booking.
Right. Okay. It's just like a gift certificate.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. And as far as our regional cooperation events marketing goes, we made a donation of round trip tickets to the Muscular Dystrophy Association in Astoria for their lock-in event, and they've now requested kind of develop a sort of partnership, which will fall under that nonprofit partnership program that we're developing. And
we're essentially going to sponsor 9 of their lock-in events throughout Oregon. And we've managed to get quite a bit of cooperative marketing through those means, and it's nice to participate in this sort of community event. We'll have a donation. We've donated 2 round trips tickets to CAST for their on-air auction in the North Coast. We've also donated 2 round trips to the Cannon Beach Chamber Business After Hours and the Astoria Chamber Annual Dinner. For the Central Coast, we'll be a silver level sponsor for the Newport Food and Wine Festival, and so we anticipate having a presence there. And we've also donated round trip tickets to the Oregon Coast Visitors Association as well, which they use for a Facebook contest. And I think well over 2,000 people visited the contest page, so that was fairly And we've donated round trips to the Children's Advocacy event in Newport and Friends of Yucatina, so we've been getting some exposure in community events through those means. The survey card data should have been sent to everyone. Does anyone have any questions about that? Okay. We're putting a third page ad in the Astoria Warrington Visitor Guide. We'll have another Newport News Times print ad out this month, and we've also been working with Boss Radio. They sent out some direct mailers for the Central Coast. We're part of their You've Got Mail ad campaign, and they will be releasing an ad shortly that they worked with Rob on, and we're just kind of going through the editing process now, and that will be running, I believe, through March. And other than that, the trifolds are printed. They're at all of our locations. And we anticipate having another Seaport magazine printed at the end of the month, beginning of February. So look for that as well. Any questions?
Looking at your first-time flyer fair, the immediate release or the press release you had, it actually shows your other aircraft, not the one that's being used in Newport and Astoria.
This hasn't been released yet, so I will go ahead and change that. Those are the pictures we typically use for our releases, which the newspapers, those are kind of more for the benefit of the reporters. The newspapers don't tend to print those, but I will make that change. Thank you for bringing it to my attention.
Can I just ask you another question, Claire, on that? This is Penelope McCarthy. So I'm a little confused. It says that in the on their action items under first-time flyer promotion, it says new passengers can purchase first-time flyer fares through 2018 for use through. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Got it. It's so if you can purchase those from January 18th for travel through
228.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can purchase them from 118 to 218 is when they can make the reservation, but
okay.
They can actually be traveling through the end of February.
Okay.
Hey, Claire, this is John Overholzer in Astoria.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, good.
Good.
On the survey card update, when did the sampling start? Is this the new card that's going out, or we only have 105 North Coast persons on ours? I was just wondering when that started.
This data comes from, I believe since March of 2010 is when this has been collected, the new data.
Okay, yeah, I just noticed a big change between the connecting airline between Southwest and now Delta's really huge.
Do you know how many passengers you've had since March of 2010 total?
You know, we could definitely generate that report. I don't know right off the top of my head, but if you're interested in that information, you shoot me an email at claire@seaportair.com. I can certainly look at a couple of reports for you and possibly give you some numbers for that.
Yeah, the reason why is that it'd be interesting to know what the percentage of, if we've had 294 survey cards compared to how many people flew. It would be interesting to see what kind of a percentage the return is on this.
Certainly.
This is Jim Day. From March 2010 through December 2010, for Newport, we've had 4,548 passengers. For Astoria, we had 1,743 passengers. These are revenue passengers only.
Okay. Thank you. That gives us a little better idea what percentage of people are actually turning in a card.
Absolutely.
You have to consider also that a number of these passengers that have flown are repeat passengers and will not submit a comment card or survey card every time.
Sure.
They fly.
Sure. You know
another little interesting tidbit. I recently looked at the percentage of passengers that we have overall that have done the survey cards that state that they will, they would fly with us again, and we have 99.5% that answer that they would in fact fly with us again.
And you don't have any tracking about repeat customers then?
No, there's no way for us to track that with the reservation system.
Okay. Any other questions then for marketing and survey? Okay, we're ready for interline ticketing and baggage agreement status.
All right, this is Daniel from Seaport. I just want to give you an update. We don't have any new interline agreements or baggage agreements. We're still working on trying to get new ones. On the online travel agency front, though, we do have Astoria Newport on Travelocity. You can go on there today and book a flight from either Astoria or Newport. Is that the only one? The only online travel agency?
Yeah, I thought you were on Expedia.
Oh, we are. That's just old news, so I didn't bring it up. I guess the Travelocity is relatively new, so this is the first meeting that I sat in that I knew that Astoria and Newport were both on Travelocity.
Oh, okay. This is Bruce at Astoria.
Astoria.
Very good morning to you.
Thank you.
Just to reconfirm on the online travel agencies, it's Travelocity, Orbitz, and Expedia. Are those the three?
No, not Orbitz yet, actually, Bruce. We just enhanced our connectivity with WorldSpan last week, which is the GDS that Orbitz uses, and we're scheduled for e-ticketing in Orbitz this upcoming week. E-ticketing in WorldSpan this upcoming week, and after that, we'll continue our talks with Orbitz. Orbitz has given us about a 3 to 4 week spool-up time from the time we go live with e-ticketing in WorldSpan, which is scheduled for next week.
Can I ask you a question on this American Airlines separating themselves from Expedia and Travelocity? What is your understanding of that strategy? You have to book American Airlines direct with them, period.
Right. They just want to control their inventory and how they offer the product to their customer better. They did just sign a direct connect agreement with Priceline, which means Priceline will be pulling fares and fees directly from America and will be able to offer their product. The direct connect is actually a better product for consumers because it reduces costs for the airline and allows them a little more flexibility. But the GDS has spun it quite well recently in the media, so.
And that strategy doesn't make sense for Seaport. You need exposure.
Right, we smaller carriers rely on the OTAs and from business that's generated kind of off the backs of the larger carriers, you could say.
This is Jim Day. My opinion on America's actions is that Delta, United, and all the other majors will follow as soon as they see that American is successful at it. And it's a substantial cost difference for the airline. The old system is really antiquated now and kind of out of date based upon the new computer technologies and everything. So there's going to be a major change in how tickets are booked as American becomes successful at this.
Yeah, Bruce, I agree with you, Jim. Yeah. That makes sense.
This is Larry. Jim, do you think that's going to open up more opportunities for inline agreements between airlines?
I'm really not sure.
Okay.
That's hard to tell. You know, you've got Republic Airlines bought Mesaba, brought Frontier, and they're, you know, going to the Frontier name. Northwest and Delta merged, or United, Northwest and Delta merged, and now you've got United and Continental. There's going to be fewer players in the marketplace, and I think this direct Connect American type thing is going to come to fruition for all the airlines. I don't know, you know, what it'll do. We're still going full board ahead for the OTAs, the GDSs. I just bailed out another $30,000 in the last 60 days on fees for Travelport. You know, we've got heavy investment in that, and we see our future in the OTAs, frankly.
Okay.
Bruce here again. So let's just walk through the scenario. So let's say American is successful, or they're going to do it anyway, and in 6 months, I'm a passenger, and I want to fly from Newport to Dallas-Fort Worth, and I'm going to take that early morning flight out of Newport. But I see I have to book American through American, either on their web or directly on their phone or whatever opportunity they give me. So I get hold of American, and I say, by the way, I want to fly out of Newport.
Well, just to clarify, Bruce, America isn't looking to necessarily drive all passenger traffic to them. They would, but their main goal is to bypass the GDSs and the expensive technology that's in place. So that's why they're setting up agreements with like Priceline, and the shoe will fall either one way. Either all the airlines are going to get on board with this, and the OTAs are going to have to. Or if the airlines continue not to support American, American may have to fall back in the OTAs and keep with the legacy type of system. But either way, you should be able to go on to online travel agencies and continue to compare prices.
I don't think it's going to have any effect on interline agreements, positive or negative. The actions that are going on are just going to cause the OTAs to have direct agreements with the airlines as opposed to going through the GDS, the travel ports, which will reduce costs substantially. And in order for the OTAs to maintain and get their fees, when the majors fall over to this new system, they're going to have to join it, because otherwise they won't have tickets listed and they'll lose a tremendous amount of business and therefore their revenue, and the OTAs will never allow that to happen.
Yeah. Okay, that clears it up. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Jim, define OTA and GDS.
OTA is online travel agencies such as Travelocity, Orbitz, Expedia, where the consumer goes directly on their computer and books their flight without going through travel agencies. The GDS is Global Distribution System, which is basically how all travel agencies book their reservations. So right now the OTAs are going through the GDS rather than direct to the websites of the airlines. And there's that additional cost factor in there to support the GDSs that if it goes away, the airlines will save all that. And I mean, you can be talking on a $50 ticket, you can be talking anywhere from $6 to $12 for the cost for that GDS for that ticket.
Kind of trying to cut out the middleman?
Exactly.
That's what they
trying to become more efficient. Now that the computer software programs are available where the OTAs can hook up directly with the airlines, the GDSs becomes an unnecessary expense.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, two of the major OTAs, Travelocity and Orbitz, are both owned by two of the major travel or GDS groups, Sabre and Travelport, respectively. So that's where a lot of the issues with the OTAs come in.
Good discussion.
The GDSs don't go away entirely. They're certainly going to have to modify how they do business and what their fees are if they want to survive.
So, this is Gene. I guess I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this. Do you see a big fight between these guys brewing? Because if the airlines don't give in to the GDS, they won't sell tickets. If the GDS don't give in to the airlines, they lose the money. So who's going to win?
The airlines.
Okay. The airlines, if they step up, so far American's the only one who's said this is the way to do it, and the other airlines are kind of playing chicken, so it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, the noise that I hear from, you know, kind of trade reports that I get every day is that the other airlines are kind of waiting to see what happens, but there's been a movement, at least with Delta and United are now looking at moving forward on the same thing. So I think it's going to happen. There's no way that American would have taken on this battle without having backdoor conversations, I'm sure.
Right.
Thank you.
Hey, one quick question, Bruce again. On the, our GDS is Amadeus. And apparently I'm unable to ticket. Did something change in that agreement or?
No,
no, you should be able to ticket on 609 stock, Bruce.
Yes, and that's what, okay, maybe then I did it wrong. So
we're still paying all their fees.
And Bruce, if you continue to have issues, please contact me and I can reach out to Amadeus and see what's going on.
Okay, and I'll talk to Amadeus as well. I just, one of the agents called and said the last couple of days they were unable to ticket or even book to secure a seat online. I'll verify that today and I'll send you an email.
Okay, that'd be great, thanks.
Okay, we've exhausted item number 5. We're ready for item number 6. Update on online, on online traveling ticketing capabilities.
I'm sorry.
We kind of exhausted that one too. Yeah,
we're pretty much done with that one too, I guess. Does anybody have any other comments for item number 6? We kind of did everything all at once there. Item number 7 is analysis of the remaining subsidy. And I think we're ready to have a report from our financial director, David Marshall. He can give us some information.
Quite simply, it looks like the Connect Oregon 2 grant is going to run out mid-April, give or take a week, and probably take a week back from that. So we're estimating that this will be fully exhausted, the $3.6 million from ODOT would be fully exhausted about April 17th and perhaps a week earlier.
At our last meeting, it was suggested that March 15th might be a date. What changes that?
Well,
those numbers?
It's complicated. And it was some of my naivety, is that the word? Innocence. In our financial system, every expense is just booked against something called Connect Oregon 2, and it doesn't make any difference what the source of the expense is. And so the match from the U.S. Department of Transportation was also included in that amount. But those are two different grants, two different amounts, two different what I call burn rates, and you can't combine them. So last week I went through and took transaction by transaction for both of them and came up with, I'll just call them exhaustion dates for either one rather than combining things that really made no sense, and I didn't know that at the time. And then we wanted to come up and really look at it. The only way to do that, of course, is to look at each receipt we got and each expense per grant. That took a great deal of time, and the result was what you hear right now. The match grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation will exceed that date by a fair amount, but the critical one, which were just under $2.9 million of expenses as of January 12th, and we have a 4-week delay between the expenses and the receipts, and I could go on and on and on, but short of some marketing expenses, which are sort of calculated into this, but not entirely, and that's why I'm saying it could be April 17th, it could be a week earlier, that's when we expect that grant, the $3.6 million, to be exhausted. Does that make sense?
Bruce, yes, and I appreciate that, and I feel for you. Just for us, as we've built pretty much all our advertising and our voucher program around March 15th, as kind of and with our understanding with Seaport, so I'm just scratching my head trying to figure out how that's an impact. And that's included in $40,000 each city took to reduce to promote locally.
Yes, it does, although I don't know, have any idea what Astoria has spent on that, but we have just calculated that as if it were another expenditure. We're tracking our own expenses for that marketing in a completely different sub-project, and I've taken that into account, and I apologize for the original March 15th thing. It wasn't a detailed enough analysis, and so, again, I'm sorry for that, but my best estimate is that it's now one month later.
And that's good news for us, and I understand. So I just got this is kind of new information, and we just got to figure out if your confidence is 90% on this then.
Well, my confidence on any numbers ranges between 10% and 95. But yeah, I mean, this was literally a transaction by transaction analysis, and the fact that we're spending $35,700 a week. And we're reimbursed a month later. Yeah, I'm as confident as that as I can be.
And I believe it. I agree with you and how you went through to get the information. So we appreciate you doing that.
This is Jim Day. I'd like to make a comment. I was on the phone with DOT this morning, and I'm not sure how the federal matching funds come through, but it was my understanding that the temporary funding approval from Congress on the budget only goes through March 5th. So I anticipate that they're going to do some, reauthorization on that, but they just ran through a situation where all the federal monies actually stopped this last month and then had to be reauthorized again as a stopgap measure. So I think that they'll fund it, but as to the timing of the funding may be questionable.
Well, that's interesting because, of course, that 20% is quite important to us. And again, it trails the expenses by a month. And, of course, that grant was going to expire on January 31st, and it was a week ago today. We asked that be extended through the completion date for the Connect grant, which was April 30th. I would certainly hope that temporary or permanent renewal happens, because that $25,000 a month would be fairly difficult for us right now.
Yeah, the reason I ran into this is all of the payments under the Essential Air Service program were actually delayed, and this is the second time in 6 months that happened. It happened back at the end of September, beginning of October, when the budget year changed over for the DOT, and then it happened again in December that it came up. I think it expired January 3rd or something, and then they had to reauthorize it, and it took an extra 10 days to get that authorized. So they're running about 2 weeks behind on their payments.
Yeah, we did receive the November 30th payment. I'm not sure about the December 31st payment, probably not. But so far, we haven't seen any type of hiccup in the payments to us from U.S. Department of Transportation.
And so that's who we deal with, too. So you just may have not have seen it, but it wouldn't have affected November's, but it could have affected December's.
Okay, well, we'll watch for that, because, again, we wouldn't have received it by now anyhow.
And this has been happening, like in AIP funds, it's been happening for what, Larry, 3 years?
4 years. Yeah. 2007 was the last reauthorization we had.
They've been doing continuing resolutions forever on AIP funding. It's almost become the norm in Washington.
Yeah. So I guess we might have a brief discussion. Maybe Penelope can help us. Maybe she can. I may be putting her on the spot, but if we say anywhere between April 1st and April 15th, the money is gone, how do we end this consortium and how do we end the subsidy?
Well, there's still responsibilities after the revenue, the subsidies are gone under the revenue guarantee agreement. And that agreement, there's still provisions that apply. There's financial reporting that needs to be done. We need to look whether or not there would be a financial audit at that point or whatever. I mean, there's still close up on the whole thing. Uh-huh. And obviously, we still have obligations under the grants for reports and things of that nature. And Newport and Astoria are obviously going to have to do an accounting at that point and work on that together. Does that help? Is that kind of what
you're
looking
at? That helps. So the consortium is going to need to continue to meet until June.
Well, I think so. I think it's going to take that long just to tie things up with the reporting and the financial, balancing. David, do you concur with that?
Well, as it says in the match amount from the feds, payment of the final 10% of the federal funding for the project will be made after receipt by the Department of Transportation of the report set forth in section so-and-so. So certainly, that final 10% match for us is going to be dependent on the final report. I don't know offhand about the ODOT one here, but I assume they have something similar to that. They'd almost have to.
Okay. This is Jim Day. I assume in your calculations for the amount of grant left that you've taken into consideration all of those costs that you're going to incur after March 15th or after whatever date specific that you've reduced or considered that when you came up with your April 17th date.
In other words,
closeout costs.
Closeout costs, yes.
Okay, thanks.
So,
and you did the startup costs as well, sir?
With the start, you mean the startup costs prior to the date that these grants became effective? Because that wouldn't enter into the calculations.
In the beginning of the program, this is John in Astoria. Astoria used $40,000 to overhaul or remodel the terminal. And we also, there was some startup costs for Seaport that were involved as well. And I'm just wondering if you had accounted those yet.
It depends on what, I mean, the short answer is no, because I wasn't aware of them. It's been long before my time, but the, none of the costs prior to the date that these grants were signed by either somebody in Salem or somebody in Washington, D.C. are reimbursable by the grants in any event. I can't speak beyond that.
I believe was after the signing, but before service began.
I'd have to look at that. I don't have an easy answer for that. I mean, we'd have to look at invoice dates and check payment dates and then compare that to the latest date on the signature page of either grant.
Jim Day, this is Penelope. How you doing? In regard to the reimbursement of the startup costs, and that's paragraph 7 of the revenue guarantee agreement, is that something that Seaport has already billed or invoiced the consortium for and the consortium has paid or not?
Yes, that was all invoiced at the time and they've all been paid. The only thing that was still out there was we had a little bit of amount for signage that was not used. All the other ones were, we actually spent more and billed the amount that was allowable for that portion for the startup cost.
Okay, and this is Gene. I may be asking a question I should know the answer to, but what are you talking about when you're talking about the closeout costs?
Well, you had mentioned that there had to be to potentially for a financial audit.
Right.
So if you're going to hire a CPA firm or something, which I think is what the grant probably refers to, is that you're going to have those costs of the audit, and that could run you you know, $40,000-$50,000, depending upon what firm you hire to do it. So if those costs are not going to be borne directly by the Port of Astoria and the City of Newport outside of the grant, then they need to be considered in the grant number when you're determining how far out in April that you'll have funding available for.
Well, if you're estimating CPA costs for a grant or two to be audited at $40,000 or $50,000, it's more than our annual grant for the entire city, and I did not consider that. Can you give me a reference in either one of the grant documents that talks about an audit by a CPA firm?
It's actually in the revenue guarantee agreement. It's in paragraph 9, and it talks about the audit rights of the consortium. So I gave you a copy of that. And I'll share that with David so he knows what is allowed under that agreement.
That's the Seaport, no?
It's different from the grants.
And I don't want to be too quick on this. I mean, it seems like we would have the right to do certain things, but not the obligation to. And again, this is an agreement between us and Seaport is what it is.
It is. It's the consortium agreement between the Seaport and the consortium, but it is something that the consortium has to consider as to whether or not they're going to do that or not. I have no idea.
Such audit must be completed no later than 6 months after the end of the term of this agreement, whatever
right.
date that is.
Right.
But it seems like it'd be an optional thing. And
it is.
Yeah,
it is, but it's still something that, you know,
what
we you
have
and
to
I
consider.
We will have to consider.
And we'd have to talk
and
about
it. And it does require an independent outside CPA, so.
Correct.
Okay. Was there any other closeout cost you were envisioning, Jim?
Not that I'm aware of.
What else do you see, David?
Miscellaneous costs that you just hadn't considered. Invoices would come in late. Nothing
a significant amount aside from this. Any significant
well,
amount?
I would even see that as significant. $40,000 would be a stunning amount to me.
I would.
No, I mean it's more than the entire city pays in 2 years.
Okay.
You know.
We don't.
But that's another issue.
We don't have any specific requirements from the state or U.S. Department of Transportation for an audit.
Outside of our,
I haven't seen the audit.
That's right.
I haven't seen it.
And that's something we're going to have to check on as to whether we have under our grants whether we have contractual requirements for an audit. I right now we don't know the answer to that.
So,
what are your expectations in Astoria?
We have questions about what to expect. And would you like to hear one?
Sure.
This is Jonah. This is Jonah in Astoria. You know, it's interesting to hear the question, you know, what do we expect near the end of the subsidy? And, of course, a big question is, what do we expect from Seaport? Some of that hinges, of course, on our promotional attempt here to sell vouchers. But then again, you know, we're sort of bumping up against the time when they may consider schedule changes, they may consider when to, you know, publish a schedule for after that time, when they may consider publishing fares for after that time, or if they're considering not publishing either.
Do you have any expectations when it comes to financial auditing and closing out the grant?
I think we expect that it would be a more homegrown approach. That it's not that I don't think it's all that difficult to audit it, but it would need to be independent. It sounds say.
Well, independent can mean a lot of things. Typically with federal funds, it is a separate look by your regular auditor at that grant program. And you're right, it's not that expensive. A couple of $1,000 extra probably will cover it. Now, Doug, are you aware of any additional Connect Oregon 2 requirements?
No, not offhand, but I'd have to check to be sure. But
Okay.
The Connect Oregon 2 grant, and I'm looking at, this is Penelope McCarthy again, states that the recipient of the ODOT grant, Connect Oregon 2, would make our records available for purposes of an audit.
Right.
For a period of 6 years, but it does not state that an audit, that we could expect to be audited. Now, that doesn't mean they wouldn't, but that's just from ODOT to this, to the consortium. Mm-hmm. That's a different piece than whether the consortium wants to have an audit under the revenue guarantee agreement of Seaport's records. That's, so those are different issues, obviously. And I'm looking at the USDOT now just to see what they're, and I'll let you know when I if I find anything about an audit.
So moving forward on the same subject, my question for Seaport is, we are required in the revenue agreement with you to give you notice as soon as possible when we anticipate funding to end. Is this type of conversation sufficient for you, or do you need something more?
No, we would need it, as everything else is required in the contract to be in writing.
Okay, so this gives you a heads up as to what we're anticipating, so you at least have that. We will then put our heads together and put something together in writing for you, but you at least right now have a heads up from the consortium as to what we're anticipating.
Okay.
And what works best for you is, does it matter first of any one particular week or first of the month?
This is, I guess.
I think it would be whatever you believe the target date is.
Well, I guess.
You know what the amount of the weekly invoicing is going to be, because we've been over the cap consistently, except for this last week. We're actually right now somewhere in the neighborhood of an excess of $250,000. We would have been billed more had the cap not been in place. In other words, the cap limited how much we could invoice.
Right.
If we took the number of flights times the subsidy amount per flight less than that ticket revenue, without a cap, we would have invoiced about $250,000 more than we have.
Okay.
Right.
This is Don in Astoria. And I think I can maybe sense where Gene was going with his question, in that how long in advance do you need to know, in terms of reservations, in terms of your planning purposes, as to when that subsidy might end? What would be good for you?
Now?
Well, that's why I'm telling you that this is, we'll get you a letter out, but this is your heads up. We've come up with the best number we can come up with, or the best date we can come up with. We're going to continue to look at it, but we also want you to start your planning as soon as possible. We think this transition is important, and we want you to start.
I'm sorry, Gene, you said, this is Daniel, you said that date was April 17th?
Well, it's our best estimate at this time is April 17th. That's one of the other issues we need, and I think that's what Mark was asking, is I think eventually we need to come up with a, if there's a couple of $1,000 left here or there, we still need to come up with a date that says this is the last day. Would you rather it be the first of the month, the middle of the month, the end of the month? I mean, we need to get you as much notice as possible so you can start your transition, and that we can start planning and working this out. We're also required by the agreement to give you as much notice as possible. So I think this is the time that it's happening.
Right, and again, it's as soon as you can, and as accurately as you can. Because whatever we base schedules, et cetera, and changes to schedules and possible changes to ticket prices, whatever, is going to be based on whatever date you give us. And once we publish, hard to unpublish.
So, and you're talking, Jim, about you want a written notice. Is that correct?
That's correct. So so that there's no confusion, not any ever he said, she said, or anything like that. It's just good business to have it in writing.
And we're never going to be able to squeeze the last drop out of this thing, so we'll have to give you a date that leaves a little bit of comfort for us, because if we give you a later date and the subsidy runs out before that, we're going to be stuck. So we need to make sure we have that ironed out a little more carefully.
Yeah, I think that's prudent.
Okay.
We should first here in Astro, we should give you a kind of our strategy, and it's centered around our voucher program. February 28th, depending on the amount of vouchers and books that we do sell, we are going to make a decision then whether C4 will continue or whether the community will support that or whether they terminate service. And now the date's going to be April 17th.
It might be sooner than that.
Yeah. April 17th appears to be the maximum date. We'll probably pull it back sooner than that, like Mark was saying, to give us a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, that's fine.
So in Astoria, your deadline, so to speak, is February 28th then?
That's go or no go.
Okay. Our next consortium meeting would be Friday, the 18th of February.
Get a lot more information for that.
Should we wait that long, or should we try to have an intermediate meeting in order to give Seaport a deadline and a date?
I don't think we need a meeting to give them that date, do we?
No.
No.
Well, before we give that date, we should at least confer with Astoria.
I think we can confer with Astoria, but I don't think we actually need a meeting. Because that's an administrative level of the grant, and that falls on the city.
I think it would be right. Easier.
What in terms of the written notice?
Yeah.
No, that's something that would be a consortium action.
Is that a consortium
action?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we may need to have an interim meeting. I think for Newport's sake, it would be better for us to know to have a date for when the subsidy is going to stop by the end of January. We need to be able to pursue our community support efforts here to continue with Seaport also, and we need to have that information by the end of January to know when that's going to transition.
I agree. So should we schedule
that? Is that possible with your financial, is there enough time? Is he going on vacation or anything like that?
We don't, he's changed his desk.
Yeah.
A week from today, end of January is fine. We can do that.
Okay, so maybe we should shoot for an interim meeting on the 4th of February. Will that work for everyone? Which is a Friday.
Good for Astoria.
As far as I know. Nothing else I can call it.
So then the message to Seaport is that on February 4th we'll give you a firm date.
Thank you.
So 10 o'clock on Friday, February the 4th, and we can decide at that point if we need to meet again on the 18th or or whether we'll just skip the 18th and move to March when we're ready to finalize everything.
Sounds good.
Well, I think the question would be then, we don't need a full agenda at that point. With everything we always have on the agenda.
No.
Okay.
No. But any other issues that come up, and if we feel like we don't need to deal with any of the other issues, I mean, if we give a date on February 4th that this is ending, then a lot of the reporting systems that we have in place now are going to be moot.
Right.
Yeah.
Penelope McCarthy again, just in regard to the USDOT to close this conversation in terms of what the grants require on an audit. The USDOT just states that the DOT may require an appropriate audit, but it does not require that as a part of the grant.
So, do we want to kind of get a feel if they intend to ask us for an audit so we can squirrel away that money?
Well, I think we definitely do need to ask that question of both USDOT and ODOT as to whether or not they're going to expect an audit.
Well,
The US DOT receives $500,000. It will be part of our next audit anyhow on a federal level.
Okay.
So they're not going to conduct a separate audit on this, almost certainly. Our own auditors will do it, but they'll use different standards on GASB 51, 54. Mm-hmm. I use track of all the GASBs. I don't know which one they we will be audited on federal standards.
Okay, and that's the US DOT.
Yeah, we'll have to pay more for that, but that'll be part of our budget.
Okay, and what about the ODOT then? Is that part of our...
Usually the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
As a part of the city audit.
Once you receive over $500,000 of federal funds, everything changes.
But if we're going to incur extra expense because of this grant with our own auditors, I think we should reimburse ourselves at some point in some fashion for that. If it's going to cost us more for our regular audit as a result of this, then I think we probably should try to find a way to estimate that.
And that's easy to do, but we would be audited that way anyhow because of the senior center grant.
Okay. But it's still going to take extra time.
Oh, it would be a lot of fun.
John in Astoria, and we're checking to see if we can get some kind of a ballpark figure, but we anticipate a slight increase in our auditing costs as well. We must need to, but we're in a very similar situation in Newport, and then we're continuously audited to a federal level since we receive quite a few federal grants.
So the issue of the amount of money spent in Astoria to upgrade your terminal, has that been billed through the granting already?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Was it included in the grants then?
I don't know.
So that was billed through the consortium?
I think so.
That's what they indicated earlier. I believe so.
And was that a part of the grants then? Because I don't remember.
Part of the revenue sharing agreement.
Are you talking about that as part of Seaport startup cost, or did Astoria spend separate money beyond what Seaport startup cost were?
Yes, they did.
It was Astoria.
It was separate money.
And then Astoria.
I'll check and get back to you on that.
And you gave us an invoice on that, or was that part of your match?
That I am not certain of. Could well have been part of the match.
Mm-hmm. So that's obviously something that your financial gurus and our financial guru are going to have to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get that information to you as soon as we can.
I think probably we should have David and at the Port of Astoria's financial manager talk as soon as possible. Jack.
She's actually undergoing a federal audit right now. About 2 or 3 days, she'll be getting back to it.
Okay.
Boy, that's pretty optimistic, 2 or 3 days.
Oh, we've been at it 2 or 3 days.
Oh, all right.
A week.
Okay.
Jack, do you have David Marshall's contact information so you could have your person contact him?
Her name is Colleen from the Port of Astoria. We'd be grateful for that information.
Okay, well, I talked to her last week and gave her David's contact information.
Oh, okay.
But David can spout it off now, too, if he wants.
Phone number is 541. Jeez, I always use my cell phone. What is her phone number?
574-0610.
Yeah, I'm good at spouting, obviously. And then D.Marshall, two L's, D.Marshall at NewportOregon.gov.
Got it.
Okay, are we done with item 7, analysis of remaining subsidy? And we've agreed basically that we've got to fine tune this sucker and get it ready for February 4. And so we're ready for item number 8, air service sustainability update. And I guess Astoria, you've kind of given us a report already. How are you doing on your voucher sales?
Well, this is week 2. We've sent out a mass mailing with a letter explaining the situation. The media and the radio, there's in print. It's
it's now in full swing. Next week I go out personally, John Lansing and myself will go out personally and meet with all the fraternal organizations and the chambers and whatnot in countywide and also across the river to spread the word. So it's a little premature to be able to give you any kind of numbers, but I believe by the 4th I can give you an update as far as how many vouchers we've sold. But personally, it's well received. They understand what we're trying to do, and if you want to keep air service, we're going to need to participate at some level, and I'm very encouraged.
Good.
Okay. And on our end, we are working on a voucher program as well with Seaport and finding ways to support Seaport continuing to overnight a flight in Newport and working out some kind of a future agreement with Seaport and the use of our airport. And we haven't really nailed any more details down than that.
And we're continuing our local ad campaign with radio, newspaper, flyers, banners, talking to people in large groups as often as possible. So whatever we can do, we're trying to create that buzz and get the community support.
Any other questions or comments? So we have an annual meeting requirement based on the agreement, the
revenue guarantee
consortium agreement, the revenue guarantee agreement. Mm-hmm. And you want to take us through that then, Penelope? What do we need to do?
Well, the revenue guarantee agreement, paragraph 12, just states that an annual meeting shall be scheduled between the consortium and Seaport to evaluate schedules, fares, load factors, community response, and any concerns any party has with the Coastal Airline Service Agreement. So we probably need to notice that meeting.
We did.
Oh, we noticed this one is the
this
annual meeting?
Yes.
Oh,
it.
Okay.
This is
well,
it.
Yeah. There we go.
So does anybody have any comments on the evaluation of flight schedules? So we're going to continue with the flight schedules we have until the subsidy runs out.
I don't have any choice.
Okay. And the evaluation of fares, we're going to continue with the fares. They just announced that their new sale for first-time flyers. We're going to continue with the fare rate and structure the way it is until the end of the subsidy. And
I would have a question there for Seaport.
Okay.
I think you've had, and this is probably Jim's question, you've had almost 2 years now of tweaking with fares and trying to figure out what do you see, and I'm speaking specifically to Newport, as the fare for Newport, what you will get to keep riders on board here?
That's difficult to answer right now. It depends upon the passenger loads. And for example, the fourth quarter of this year compared to the fourth quarter of last year, Newport paid passenger ridership is up 4%. It has to go up a lot more than that because, you know, the total cost is your total cost divided by the number of passengers. And we're hoping that your efforts that are being done will help increase ridership. I don't know what the NOAA effect is going to be yet. I don't know whether your community leaders have had any conversations with NOAA to try to encourage them to make their travel between Seattle and Newport via Seaport, because that will have a significant impact on the ridership percentage and therefore the cost of tickets. So we're currently looking at what we're going to have or what we would project as fares, but I don't have an answer right now.
So you feel like you've pushed your average fare up about as high as the current traffic will sustain?
No. I think that the market will bear higher. But, you know, my original estimate that I did back and was part of the contract negotiations, I think is probably still somewhere in the ballpark, unless we can get ridership way up and, you know, and then how many trips a day we have to Newport. The caravan helps, but it's not a end-all answer.
Well, I think the question, at least my question, is less about what do you need for each fare as opposed to you've had 2 years of experience of what people will pay. And that's more of my question is, do you, and that's what Mark was echoing, do you think the average fare you're at now is what people will pay, or are you getting a better picture of that after your experience?
Have you hit the saturation point yet?
Thank you.
I don't believe so.
Sweet spot.
Okay.
So they'll go from 80, which they're about average 80 now, up towards 100 probably.
Is there a max that the federal government would pay on behalf of NOAA?
I do not know.
Okay.
John Lansing, you've been doing quite a bit of work with making connections via NOAA and their suppliers and things. Can you give us a little report on that?
Well, the last conversation that I had with Captain Bullock, from a top-down approach that I was requesting for them to reach out to internal parts of their organization, whether it be human resources or security, and then also their vendors, they said that they would do that. The reality is they take over their building on May 1. Their ships will start showing up after that. And at that juncture, we'll be able to, you know, outreach and really get a better idea of letting vendors know, finding out who the vendors are, and letting them know that when you fly into Portland, you have the opportunity to fly to Newport. Gene, I sent you some contact numbers. Did you get that the other night?
Yeah, I got those. I think I got those yesterday.
Okay. Those are the people that we've had conversations with. And at some point, maybe in February, Gene, you and I need to get on the horn and reconfirm the urgency with NOAA. NOAA, what concerns me about NOAA, and as I mentioned to you guys in last month's consortium, they're flying from SeaTac in the morning down to Eugene, renting a car, driving over to Newport, driving back, and they're still claiming that it's expensive to fly on us. If we had enough passengers committed by NOAA on a weekly basis, we might be able to do something imaginative and go from BFI down to OMP, but that takes a major commitment. I mentioned to them that they have value accounts. They're unable to prospectively put money into somebody else's bucket. So maybe that's something that Newport needs to consider to try to figure out how to maybe provide them a discount on tickets. But we need to get awareness up. Once again, awareness is our biggest challenge in all of our footprints.
You would not be able to have a government rate then or a special rate for NOAA?
Jim, if you could comment on the government rate that we currently have in place.
We would, of course, because they are government employees, would get our government rate. Understand that all government rates are fully refundable tickets. So it actually is a higher price because of the refundability issue than the Super Saver 21-day advance purchase would be.
And above and beyond that, just to add, with the government fare, they require that they're able to hold the fare up until the very last 24 hours before departure, instead of just a normal 24-hour period without payment. So they could conceivably hold fares right until before departure and then not take the flight. So it is a higher risk fare, and we have to factor that in when we build the fare.
And going back to John's comments a little bit, every airport we go to, we have, other than a one-off charter, or it's not a public schedule, we have to have op specs approved by the FAA. We just cannot change routes and flights and destinations without having FAA approval, unless it's the entire plane is chartered by an individual or a government entity. So we can't make special deals and changes on the fly.
Okay.
John, do you know what the average cost to fly from Seattle to Eugene and rent a car and make that a round trip is?
I have not done that yet. I'm going to work with Daniel on that to find out, because that was a question. When I posted the opportunity for them to be flying out of BFI without any cost to park, the idea of the cost of a rental car, those are all those moving parts that I haven't come up with the cost yet. But certainly in terms of time and convenience, to be able to fly out of BFI at 6:30 in the morning to be down in Newport, put in 4.5 hours to be back on your pillow that same evening, sure makes a lot more sense than trying to drive over the Coast Range either in the summer or winter time on a rental basis.
When you get that number, share it with us, please.
You bet.
And if we can get our voucher system and a program up and running early in February, then that will also be something that would be available to the vendors who travel outside of government regulations. So vendors that regularly service the NOAA fleet would probably enjoy the cost savings of those vouchers.
Jim, I have a question about a GSA number. That was something that was brought out in the communications, and Mr. Dalrymple indicated that some of those control numbers from GSA are not that difficult to get a hold of.
I have not looked into that. I would have to research that. I just pulled up Orbit's computer, and flights from nonstop from SeaTac to EUG is $327 round trip on Alaska with no stops, and it's actually, believe it or not, $338 with a stop because of the additional segment fee that has to be paid. Sure. That's the cheapest on Alaska. And on Delta, it's $1,128. So it goes from $338, $345, $348, $356, $1,070, and $1,128. That's what's coming up on Orbitz.
And bear in mind that these are the restricted fares. They're not necessarily the government fares that would presumably be at higher rates that my understanding is NOAA is required to buy.
Yeah, this is the cheapest fares that comes up on Orbitz. And what that's at least a 7-day advance purchase.
And right.
And that does not include parking at SeaTac, rental car rates, fuel, etc.
Yeah. Right now, what is your Seaport ticket? Rate. Yeah, what is Seaport's rate between BFI and Newport?
Boy. Don't know off the top of our head.
Don't know. I have to look it up. I don't know off the top of my head. Let me see if I can get that.
It's not our
phone,
is it?
No. While you're looking that up, Jim, Daniel, you there? Bruce here in Astoria.
Yeah, Bruce, go ahead.
I thought perhaps you'd tell me, we could talk after this meeting, but currently, on our printed material and on our vouchers, we've explained to the community that for those who purchase them, that they will have if we do sell enough and it's a go, that they may start using those vouchers after March 15th.
Sounds good.
I'm anticipating that might cause them. Do you have a problem with that?
No, I mean, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Does this now, though, give us additional time to sell more vouchers where we are not forced by the end of February to have either a go or no-go status?
Well, I think the question becomes, does the consortium want to pay subsidy on tickets that are being sold by your vouchers?
It doesn't matter. They're up against the cap anyway.
Well, I think we need to talk about it offline here with Seaport to see if that's the case, because, I mean, we were under the impression that by March 15th, it'd be all done.
Yeah, that's really between Astoria and Seaport. It's an issue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
so
now that we've got an additional month, that really kind of screws up our whole advertising program.
Yeah, but it's encouraging because it is an opportunity to keep an airline.
We really need written confirmation that it'll be through April before we looked at moving any kind of dates around.
Well, I guess
because our original understanding was beginning of March, middle of March.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Is as long as the consortium doesn't have an issue, it's between you guys.
This is Jim Day. Looking at the one-way fare for us, Seattle Newport is $190.91 is the current lowest fare for other than the first time flyer deal. So that would be $381.82 round trip.
So you're competitive there.
Basically, the airfare, when they consider the rental car, it's going to be about the same, probably, or close to it. Plus they have the parking, so it's going to cost them, and depending upon how many days they keep the rental car, et cetera, but how many days they're parking up there at SeaTac is going to be an issue, and also they'll save time by flying Seaport.
But just fair to fair, you're competitive, and the other costs, you beat them out. So
that's right.
And time.
Yeah.
We'll spread that word.
And it's 2 hour.
Noah wants to keep cars down at the airport there, like Pendleton does here with us. That may be an answer to save their rental car costs. They fly out of Seaport.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have any other business to come before the consortium? All right. I move we adjourn.
I'll second that.
Okay, we're done. So we'll see everybody again on February 4th, or hear everybody again at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Mr.